is a shorty's Chad Muska board, the silhouette where he's sitting down. It's so crazy that he's sitting down.
Old school.
Oh my God, yeah. It's so crazy. I just, okay, whatever. So he has that board and he's like, this is what I got. Like, this is what I'm into. And I seriously did whatever Kevin was into. You know, we used to listen to Korn and play Tomb Raider to like 3 a.m. Like, so lame, you know?
Oh, hell yeah.
But I was like, dude, all right, I guess I'm kind of good at it. Yeah, sure, I'll get into it. You know, and I was like, my older brother skated, but he wouldn't let me do what he was into. And finally, I showed him I was into skating, so he kind of hooked me up with it.
All right, what's up, everybody? This is Jordan Hoffert, a professional skateboarder, and you are listening to the Skate to Create podcast.
James, the creative director for Royal Deca and the host of the show.
What's going on, guys? It's Daniel, the co-host for Skate to Create and project manager for Royal Deca. Like always, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. We got another great show tonight, man.
Yeah, and we are talking to someone that is a friend of the show. He's actually friends with Josh Love.
Yeah, he introduced us.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah,
met him online, and it's a real pleasure to talk to Andy Dicker. What's up, man?
What's up, dude?
Not much. Another day out in Southern California, is that right?
Yeah, dude. I live in Newport Beach, or more like Costa Mesa, California. So
sick.
So it was a little bit stormy last few days, but I mean, it's super buttery down here every day.
Hell yeah, absolutely. So not everyone knows who, you know, you might be. So if you might just take some time and kind of introduce yourself and let us know where you're from, man.
Sick. All right. Well, as you said, my name's Andy. I'm from Sacramento, California, or Fair Oaks, to be exact. I roll with the FOFA crew and the PLA boys from PLA Skate Shop. That's my main shop. I have been working with the Element Skate Camp for 7 years now. I've actually gotten to a point where I'm the director, which is like beyond me because that's just such a blessing. The best place on earth, dude. And that's in the summertime. But the rest of the year, I work with Elemental Awareness, which is a nonprofit that started from Skate Camp that pretty much travels the country looking for underprivileged kids and gives them the opportunity to go to Skate Camp. And at camp, we teach a wilderness survival program there. And then the rest of the year, with Elemental Awareness, we host, like, philanthropic events. Like, we run the Make It Count contest series, which is, like, an international contest series that Element sponsors. And I'm the MC for the national stops. So, like, anywhere in America where Make It Count is coming, I'm the goon who's on the mic, who's making stupid jokes, but that's what I do, man. I just have somehow fandangled my way into having like a job with skateboarding with some of my very best friends, and it's a blessing for sure.
Oh yeah,
dude, that's so awesome, Andy. And just for those that don't know, what is the skate camp? Like, what is that all about?
Oh, dude, it's like the most excellent place on this planet. It's full-on skate paradise. So back in the day, it was the Visalia skate camp, and in old 4-in-1s, and dude, even in like Hocus Pocus maybe, or Useless Wooden Toys, there was like a little recap of it. But dude, it's like on this lake in the Sequoia National Forest. It's a YMCA camp. It's been there for over 100 years. See, but for the last 30 years, it's been skate camp. This dude, Bobby Goodsby, and some other homies started camp down in, like, I think San Luis Obispo and maybe Berkeley at those colleges. Mm-hmm. And then he was trying to find, like, a new spot because they kept on getting kicked out because it was just, like, a bunch of skateboarders at a camp that they just made up. And the YMCA is like, yo, we have this facility. You can come through. So Bobby and his homies, they built some ramps up at this place called Camp Millwood, which is, like, it's like an hour outside of Fresno, an hour outside of Visalia, at the foothills of Kings Canyon, just before the entrance to the Sequoia National Forest. and it's like a private lake, so beautiful. It's got all these old cabins and this old rec center and dining hall, and it's just like, it's out there. It's like the epitome of what it is to camp. But over the last 30 years, they've developed it. It has 7 parks, and each park has like its own kind of quirks. And I'm not gonna lie, it's like, it's kind of sketchy, dude. Like, some of the ramps, we stay out there all year, and like it gets pretty weathered. And some of the ramps are like, you can feel it like rolling in, because it's all wood with skate light. You like hear that like boom boom, that crack against like cement. You can just feel it, and kids wipe out all the time. But dude, it's like,
you got to get to know it.
Seriously,
right?
The best place ever. Like, the skating is one thing, but it's ultimately like the positive vibes that come from that place that is like, it's indescribable. It is what it is, dude.
Yeah, man. And we definitely remember like the commercials and stuff for the camp. We never actually went ourselves, even though we, you know, grew up in Southern California, but we remember just watching it and how it seemed like so just in touch with nature, just beautiful surroundings, totally opposite than what we were used to, you know, skating in the city.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing about it, dude, is when I first got a job up there, I got hooked up through my friend Cassidy and through Mike Manitas, who is the director, 2 directors ago, who is like, for me, one of the biggest inspirations in my life. I look up to him so much. When I first got the job, I was fully in like the normal skate mindset of just like, you kind of skate, you're trying to film a part, you're trying to do your shit, you know? And then, when I went up there, there was like a group, the staff members themselves were from all over the United States, and they all skated different. Some were better than others. And it was like someone would skate ledges and someone would skate trainee, and then someone was really good. Someone was really tech, someone was really flat ground. It was like really strange. But the biggest part about it is that camp brought us together, not for us to be the best skateboarders, but to be the best people. It like molds you in a way where it's like, cool, you got to skate? No one cares. What's really important is the kids who are coming look up to you so much. Mm-hmm. They're stoked that you skate, but more importantly, they're stoked on the morals and values that you push upon them, or you don't push upon them, but you like present, you know? So if you guys are blowing it, those kids are going to have a terrible week. Basically, they call it in loco parentis, like when parents are gone, you're their parent. So it really challenged us all to like, oh, we got to be like hella cool with the kids. All right, we'll be on our best behavior now. But it's like, dude, from that, it challenges you to really appreciate skating for what it is and realize that it's a tool for education for our youth, but more importantly, it's like, it's a tool to create whatever you want in life. It's like the most beautiful thing.
Man, that's amazing that you say that. I mean, just so many different aspects that park is giving us, you know, even with yourself. I mean, being able to be a creative person with skateboarding and, you know, in art as well. And it connects you all over. I mean,
dude, so much. It's right. So powerful.
Well, hey, Andy, when did you actually start skating? Like, when did you, decide to start? And then, how did you get involved with this camp?
So I was living in Vancouver, Washington, and I was just a little nugget. And, I went to go meet up with my friend Kevin after he was away for summer. He went to Michigan, and I walked up this big hill into the top. I seen Kevin. I heard this noise, and I realized, like, what the hell is he riding? I realized he was on a skateboard, and he picked it up, and it was a shorties Chad Meska board, the silhouette where he's sitting down. It's so crazy that he's sitting down.
Old school.
Oh, my God, yeah. That's so crazy. Whatever. So he has that board, and he's like, this is what I got. Like, this is what I'm into. And I seriously did whatever Kevin was into. You know, we used to listen to Korn and play Tomb Raider to like 3 a.m. Like, so lame, you know?
Oh, hell yeah.
But I was like, dude, all right, I guess I'm kind of good at it. Yeah, sure, I'll get into it, you know? And I was like, my older brother skated, but he wouldn't let me do what he was into. And finally, I showed him I was into skating, so he kind of hooked me up with a board, and I finally got a Chad Muska board just like Kevin, and we skated, and I was like, whatever, kind of into it. I was more into Pokemon at the time, because Pokemon was like, so dope, dude. Pokemon Dragon Ball Z. That's what it was at. But then, I don't know. I remember going to my school, Alkine Middle School in Vancouver, and Nate Sherwood, he was a pro for I don't even know who he was pro for, but he was so silly, dude. He would do like crazy pressure flip stuff, but we had this like three lock in front of our school and he did like a pressure flip manual. And like, I was like, whoa, what'd you do? He's like, oh, I just did this trick, man. What's your name? You know, he talked to me and he was really cool. He invited me to a barbecue, which, I mean, in hindsight, it's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't invite like a 13 year old to a grown man to barbecue. But he was just so stoked on skating that I was just like, that guy's the coolest dude. I'm going to skate my ass off and try to be like him. And then from there, like, I kept on skating. I was like one of the only kids at my school in Washington who skated. And then, my parents moved down to Sacramento when I was about 16. And I was just like, all right, I'm down. I met some of the homies from FOFA, like Alan Hannon, who's a filmer for Supra right now. And I met Mika Adamov, who rides for Enjoy, and Jesse Walsh, who's a filmer from the area. We all went to school together. Same. And I just skated with them all the time. And like, I realized like what skating was. I mean, they were into going out and filming and getting on missions, and it was like totally mind blowing for me. So I just got into it, and then I went away to college, and then I was like off and on with skating when I was out of high school. I don't know. I just went through a weird patch, but then I ended up getting a job at Zumiez of all lame right. places. But I got a discount on a board from Zumiez, and then I got like sparked back on it, and it was just like it was on and.
I know that feeling, dude. I know that feeling. I worked at Zumiez. I know that feeling. I was a manager there for a while, and it was after a time I was playing music and stuff. So whenever I got working there, I felt like it was just like, okay, hell yeah, I can skate all the time now because that's my world. I'm at a skate shop again.
Yeah, dude. I was almost embarrassed to get a job at Zumiez because I seen like all the goons going there, like, what's going on, little bro? What can I get you? You know, like, don't talk to me. But I needed a job, and it was relative to skating, more so than Starbucks. That was my first job.
Right.
And I remember there was like a birdhouse, or no, not birdhouse, but a Baker board, and Andrew Reynolds for on sale. And I was like, yeah, I'm getting that. And I like, I don't know what happened to my board previous to it, but I was like, there was like 1 year of limbo where I had like a girlfriend. I just graduated high school and I was just like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. Then I got a job at Zumiez. I was like, oh yeah, skateboarding. What the hell was I thinking? Right. And then I got back into skating and like, I moved to Chico of all places, and Chico, California, which is like a big party town, but I was like still so into skating. And I was kind of like, I was jaded off the party scene. I was jaded off working at Zumiez and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I had a lunch with my dad. Who's the man? I love my dad. And I was like, I don't know what to do this summer. He's like, why don't you go work at the summer camp with skateboards? I was like, that does not exist. What are you talking about? And he's like, look it up. So I looked it up. I found like Wendell's, High Cascade. I found Woodward. I found Element Skate Camp. And I remember thinking like, these are sick, you know? I'm down for any of this. But I applied to every single one. But the one that really mattered to me was the Element Skate Camp, because there was like this commercial with Mike Meninas right. talking about how it's paradise. And there's like Ray Barbie's in the clip and Chad Muska's in the clip too. And I was just like, man, that'd be so cool. So I wrote a letter to Mike Meninas and I wrote a letter to the YMCA. And I didn't get anything back. And I just kept on thinking about it, dude. Like every day, just thinking about it. I printed out a picture of the Element Skate Camp and I put it on my wall. And I was like fully like visualizing, like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. And then a few weeks went by, I didn't hear anything. And I went to the skate park, and this dude named Cassidy, who's kind of a sketchy dude, but he was still like super good at skating. He walked up to me and we just started talking out of the blue. And he's like, what are you up to this summer? I'm like, dude, I tried to apply to this summer camp. He's like, no way. Which one? I was like, the Element Skate Camp. He's like, really? What do you want to do? And I was like, I don't give a crap, dude. I'll do anything. And he's like, well, it just so happens that I used to work there. I can hit somebody up and maybe get you a job. And I was like, this Damn. Is the first experience with connecting people. I'd never been connected to anything in my life prior to that, you know? And it was kind of like bewildering, like, okay. In the back of my mind, I almost doubted it. Like, dude, I've been like praying for this for so long. Like, I don't know if it's going to happen. So I went home, kicked it. A few days go by. And Mike Meninas calls me. And he's like, yo, Andy? I was like, yeah. He's like, the homie Cassidy called and said you're a good dude. It's like, oh, my God, you know? And he's like, I read your letter, too. And the lady at the YMCA read your letter. And the only thing I have for you is I don't have a job being for you to be a counselor, but you can be a store dude. Are you down for that? I'm like, dude, yes. He's like, all right, you got a job. And I was like, okay, thank you very much. And I hung up the phone, and he was like, yeah! Screaming like crazy, dude, like doing roundhouse kicks in the air. And I was just so damn stoked.
Yeah,
dude.
It paid off.
Oh, my God, it paid off. These letters. Letters have been the means by which I'm able to get anything in life and the means by which anyone will, because it's just such a true and beautiful thing. So for all the listeners out there, write a letter. It's a good thing. Give it your nana. She'll appreciate it.
Dude, yeah.
It's such a loss. It's such a lost art. And it's just like a touch that kind of really puts the emphasis on things. And people are so touched by that nowadays, man.
Yeah, there's a few things that you did, though, that were really cool that I like. So obviously writing the letter, you know, you kind of poured your heart out and let them know that you wanted to work there. But then also not being afraid to just tell people what's up, you know, like that you wouldn't mind doing anything to work at a place like that. Like, that's every skateboarder's dream, I'm sure, to be out there.
For sure.
Yeah.
The goal was to get there. It wasn't to be in a particular place. It's just to get there. Because with anything in life, you can set your standards of where you want to be. But to get there, it takes a lot of hard work and opportunity. And legitimately, anything that's relevant to it is worth pursuing.
You know, Andy, I mean, that's a really good point that you make. Because a lot of people have big dreams to be, you know, especially in the skateboarding industry, like yourself or even like someone like Josh Love. You know, they were in another spot in the, you know, in the States, and they knew California was a mecca, you know, for the skateboarding, and they have big dreams, but taking those little steps day by day, just making those small, you know, bits of effort all add up, you know, and you recognizing
dude,
that
so much, so
awesome.
Much, you know, so I got the job at skate camp, and I started working there, and it fully changed my view of skateboarding and like how it was. It's all about creativity. And then, Mike Menides, I got to tell you guys, Mike Menides is an amazing human being. If you have the opportunity to ever meet him, please do it. He has a shop in San Mateo called Atlas. One day, I was talking to Mike, and he was just saying, like, oh, yeah, he used to be sponsored by DC and by New Deal and all this stuff. And then he looked, and I asked my homie, like, yo, Mike was really sponsored by all these people? He's like, yeah, he was AM. I'm like, how did he do it? He's like, well, he just went for it. He worked at camp, and then the next year, he just went for it. Like, he would just get broke off at the spot. Mm-hmm. So, this is one of the first means in which Mike has inspired me. The year after, like, maybe my third year at skate camp, I finally realized, like, dude, what am I going to do? I'm 22 years old. I want to be sponsored. I got to start working for it. You know, I can't just, like, go to the park and do whatever. So, after camp, I just started going for it. Like, I would think about tricks that I wanted to do. I'd go to the park, and I'd just ruin my body. Like, jump down the sets. I'd grind the rails. I'd do anything. Like, I was so eager to try to get good at skateboarding because that's what I perceived to be in my mind is, like, the end goal, to be a professional skateboarder. So in that year, I worked my ass off. I got more footage than I've ever gotten, and I was on track to where I was traveling with these dudes. I started getting boards from Element thanks to a homie I used to work with at Element Skate Camp, Matt Ward, who now works at Element.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
The pirate. He's the best dude.
Yeah.
He was hooking me up with the boards. I was getting shoes through my shop, PLA. And I was like, in my mind, like, oh, I am so set. It's all good. You know, just thinking like, I'm going to travel with the team someday. I'm going to have my name on a board. Like, this is going to be dope. And then I ruined my ankle. I was skating this double set, and the security guard was coming, and it was like a newer double set, and I just had a fresh pair of Nike Blazers, and my back foot slipped off my tail, and I rolled it in as opposed to rolling it out, and it was this first try snap, and all my homies were like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I broke my ankle. You gotta go, you know? And it sucked, dude. I had to get surgery, and I couldn't walk for 12 weeks. And I was, like, completely devastated. My dreams had been shattered in a moment. You know, I guess I didn't appreciate my body and the necessities of stretching and how it could really pay off if I did take a tumble. And as I was laying in my bed for, like, days upon days, in like a daze from the meds, I was like so sad, thinking like my life's over. I've got nothing for me, you know? Like how melodramatic could I be at like 23, you know? Like, ooh, I'm looking
through that. But nah, dude, I mean, man, that's a big hit, you know?
When you're working so hard at something and, you know, you feel a big impact, it feels like, you know, but so what happened after that?
So as I was laying there, I was trying to figure out like what I wanted to do. And I ended up like getting out of my room and like taking my crutches over into my pool. I had this pool at my house in Sac, which is awesome. And I'm just stuck in my feet. And I was just thinking like, what a waste of energy I've been putting on myself. And my soul, like I feel drained, not just from this injury, but like all this desire to be pro, and I can't do it anymore. But I was thinking, like, first of all, that's crap. That's not true. Like, I've gotten this far in my life. I've gotten to the point where I could get so good, where I was almost tracked, you know, getting hooked up. That was just a dream before. Legitimately, anything that I think of, I can possibly make happen. Right. So I want to be a pro skateboarder. I want to travel around the world. I want to be akin with all the pros in the industry and have hookups and make skateboarding my career. And then I thought, like, well, whose definition of pro skateboarding do I have to go by? The one that everybody else says? Or why can't I just be a skateboarder who's professional? Why can't I just get to a point where I'm doing something creatively that allows me to be a part of a brand and to still travel and pretty much be like a pro skateboarder? And then I was just like, that's what I'm going to do.
Did you have someone in mind? Did you have someone in mind whenever you're thinking that? Like, was there someone that fit that description to you?
No, not really. The only person that really fit that description was my friend Todd Larson from Elemental Awareness. Mm-hmm. And he's somebody that I met through camp, and he was always like, he worked at skate camp, and then he started this nonprofit called Elemental Awareness, which I explained before, but it teaches wilderness survival to kids at camp. But the rest of the year, he kind of works with Element setting up contests. And I thought that was so cool, you know, like he's like a skateboarding professional. But then from that day on, I was just like, that's what I'm doing. And then I ended up sealing up. I went back to camp and I couldn't really skate that summer, but I took that time to really appreciate just being able to walk, dude. Oh my God. Being able to walk is a gift. Everything in life is a gift if you open your mind to it, you know, and like, just experiencing that place and seeing the joy of skateboarding with these kids, it was more powerful to me when I couldn't than when I could. And yet again, number two, the second time in which Mike Menides has inspired me, we were sitting down at the director's cabin, which is a spot up at skate camp where everybody kicks it from the lead staff. And Mike and everyone were just kind of talking, like reading books, sitting, chilling, you know, living well. And then Mike was just like, dude, the dream would be skate camp all year. I don't know how that would work, like a traveling camp, or I don't even know, but skate camp all year. And he said that to me, dude, and like, I get goosebumps just thinking about it right now, because legitimately from that point, I was like, okay, that's how I'm going to be a skateboarding professional. I'm going to make skate camp all year. I'm going to find a way to make it happen.
Andy, what was preventing it from being all year at that point?
Okay, so at skate camp is our particular skate camp. It's run by the YMCA and Visalia. So the YMCA basically sources us to run their programs, but they get the money for the registration and they get all the finances back. So say we have a successful summer where 400 kids go to camp and they pay $1,000 a pop. They get $400,000 goes to the YMCA, but the YMCA pays the employees, pays us, but then it has to pay for all of the camps on the lake. And there's five different camps on the lake. And then after that, they have to pay for the YMCA located in Visalia for all the administration, for the rent, for the food, everything. But unfortunately, in the past few years, the YMCA has absorbed all of the YMCAs in the Central Valley. So those other YMCAs that were struggling, all of their debts got put onto that YMCA. Yeah. So since I've been working there, the YMCA has been like going through some hardships where we'll make good money at camp. We'll have it full every summer, but then all of our money goes to them. And when the next summer comes around, we're like, all right, we need to rebuild the ramp. Like, we don't have money for that. We had to pay off the debts from this other camp, you know? Like, whoa, well, we want to start a program. Like, that would be cool, but we don't have money for that. It's like, okay.
And so what was your idea for being able to do that all year round?
Well, I was patient with it. You know, I really wanted to understand how programs work, first of all. I graduated from Sacramento State in communications, so I didn't really understand, like, business that well, or, like, even how camps run from the inside. I just know how to talk and figure stuff out, weirdly enough. And then after college, I moved down to Southern California, and I went to my friend Todd, and I was like, Todd, I want to work with you. I want to work with Elemental Awareness, because to me, Elemental Awareness is like the closest thing to having a skate camp all year. We're traveling around. We're kicking with the pros. We're still hooking up kids. We're doing camping trips. It's like, dude, that's at least the beginning piece. But at that time, Todd was like, you know, I don't have a job for you. It honestly, like, it would be good for you just to learn how nonprofits work, and then come back and we can see where you fit in. You know, just he's being very honest and real with me, and I appreciate it. So, but that challenged me. I was like, screw that, dude. I'm gonna figure it out. And I was living at Long Beach at the time, working at a coffee shop, just like on the struggles, dude. Went from like living at home, getting food and getting paid everything, you know, like no rent, not even tripping, to having like a rundown apartment with my ex-girlfriend, and we're like barely surviving. We're able to eat food from the coffee shop I work at.
Struggle Street, yeah.
It happens, you know, and I started working with all these other nonprofits. Started working with, like, Athlon Beach. I started working with, like, a instructional skating program called Skate Dogs. Started working with, who knows what, dude. I was just seriously, I went everywhere and anywhere where I thought there was a skate program going on, so I could learn, like, I could observe how they do it. And it got to a point where I realized how it would work, and I thought, like, this isn't camp, though. This isn't camp. Like, camp is this other thing. It's bigger than that. And then Todd gave me an opportunity to start traveling around with the Make It Count series, which is like, yeah, dude, I'm so down. So I started to announce for that, and I was able to get in the van and travel with the pros. So I was like, yes, like, I slightly admitted to being a skateboarding professional. That's so cool, you know? And I realized, like, okay, this is like kind of on track with what I want to do. It may not be necessarily skate camp all year yet, but it's like, it's getting there, you know? So camp went around the corner, had that, and then I was back to Long Beach, and I started getting involved with Intro to Skate, which is my friend John DePoyon. His name's Diesel. He's from Michigan. He's so, so good at skateboarding. He tray flipped nose one in a 10 stair the other day, and he's like, he's a monster, dude. He'll like hard flip frontside alley-oop over a hubba at any contest. You'll see him, John DePoyon.
It's like video game stuff, dude.
Yeah, dude, straight up like video games. He's so, and he's like big, too. He's like strong and like beefy. Like if he fell on the rail, he would break the rail before the rail broke.
Beefy.
Awesome. He's a beefy dude. So I got involved with them, and it was more like skate coaching, like an after school program, which was great. It was really cool, and it was a humbling experience to go from working with a camp full of kids that are from the age of 8 to 17, who are from all over the world, whose skill levels vary. And I'm, like, so used to running a full-on program to going to, like, an after-school program with, like, six kids who are all under the age of 10. It's almost like babysitting. And it's like, okay, yeah, I understand it now. Like, it's totally different, but it is what it is. And I loved it for what it was. But it still wasn't yet skate camp. And I did that for a while, and it was great. I really enjoyed it. And then I wrote a letter to the owner of Element, Johnny Shillerith, because my friends were talking about how the company was going through this transition, and I was just really stricken back by it. But also, I know that Johnny is a man of capabilities, because he's gotten to a point with Element where it's like this world-renowned brand. And I thought, like, dude, if anybody knows business, that dude knows business. I want to hit him up, because I know how to run a camp, but I need to think of it from a business perspective of how to get things going, you know? So I wrote him a letter. He read the letter. He invited me to dinner, and he offered me a job. And the job wasn't to do camps. It was to be his personal assistant, because that was the only job he had available. And I was kind of at a crossroads. Like, do I continue doing Intro to Skate and continue to do skate camp program or skate programs that are similar to camp but not quite the same thing? Or do I get myself into a completely different realm that's more involved with the company, to learn how the company works, and to even see how business works? And I went for the plunge. I took the job as a personal assistant.
Hell yeah.
If anybody's been a personal assistant to a CEO, they know it's hectic.
Dude, but I really like that you did that, man. I mean, that's That takes a lot. That takes a lot of courage to kind of just hop into that new world and be like, okay, get in any way I can, basically.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You got to do it. If there's something that you want in life and you recognize it and you realize that the end goal is this, you know, as Stephen Covey from The 7 Habits of a Highly Effective Person, which is a great book, I recommend you reading it.
Totally.
He explains, like, keep the end in mind. And for me, the end has always been, you're on skate camp, skateboarding professional. Now, I recognize that one of the first steps would be to understand camps and then to understand business. So this was the second step. It's still in line with what I want to do. Like, it may not be exactly what I want, but dude, I'm going to work super hard and I'm going to learn as much as possible.
Yeah, so, totally. And that's something that is something I highly recommend as well. If you can pick up a skill that you know is going to serve you towards that end, I mean, yeah, take it and, you know, run with it.
And
go
being
at
paid
it.
To learn it is always the best way to do it.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And life is all relative. Like, I am shocked on the daily by things that I did in the past that I thought were mundane and boring, like writing an essay in my class or doing math in my math class or even making a sale at Zoomies. Now every day it's relevant because someone will be like, can you put this together for me? Write out a draft. And it's like, holy crap. That's exactly what I had to do in my English class. Like, damn it, I wish I would have paid attention. Like, oh my God. I wish I knew math a little bit better so then I could run these numbers for running a business. Dang it, you know? Like, it's all relative. Like, whatever energy you can put yourself into, like, what I mean, that is to say, like, whatever you can put yourself into, whatever energy you can give, do it. Give it your best because you don't know how it will pay off. And I swear it'll come back and it will pay off if you work hard.
Yeah, awesome, well put, Andy. And, you know, we can definitely talk to you all day about this and more, but can we get to what you're doing now and, you know, I guess more specifically the art show you got going on?
Oh, yeah. All right. So as of now, I'm no longer Johnny's assistant. I no longer work at Element as an employee. I work with Elemental Awareness with my friends, and we're slowly but surely making it to a point where we're kind of converging Elemental Awareness and Skate Camp to do more Skate Camp programming. One of the things that we do is we like to do donations and fundraisers for camp. And last year on an Elemental Awareness trip, the Res Tour, where we visit different Indian reservations and skate with them, dude, we had the whole team. Mark Appiard, Evan Smith, Levi Brown, Nassim Guamez, Grayson Fletcher,
damn,
dude, Alex Lawton from Australia, who's a boss, Brian Gaberman, Cole Matthews, who's the team manager, my homie Dylan, who works with Elemental Awareness, Todd, it was like fully stacked. Oh, Nick Garcia. At least I forget my dog, Nick Garcia. Dude, it was like the whole team. It was like my idols all together in one place. And it was like, I'm finally doing it. Like that one day in the pool with my broken ankle, I dreamed of going on skate trips and here I am. Dude, I was so stoked. But then I also was dating this girl and we were going through a hard time. And I went on the trip and like the third day into the trip, my homie called me up. He's like, yo, dude, I gotta tell you something. I was like, what? He's like, I seen her out at the bar with some other dude. And I'm like, you know, and this is in the hotel room right before we're about to go on to the Sklalam Indian Reservation in Port Gamble, Washington. And like, we're seriously 10 minutes away from leaving. And I'm like the MC for the events that we do. So I'm like the dude who has to be like, all right, let's get it going with it, worms, you know?
Super hype.
But I'm just like, oh my God. My heart's broken. You know, I was done, dude. And then I called my girlfriend. I found out it was true. I realized we were breaking up. And then I hung up the phone. And I was like, dude, like I'm crushed, you know. And it's one of those things in life where it's like, well, what do you want to do? You want to mope about it? Like, you've got all these dudes who you look up to. You've been dreaming about this. Like, get in the zone. Just separate your emotions and make this happen, you know. So I did. Like, I spent the rest of the trip just like, so stoked, you know, really appreciate it for what it was. And prior to the trip, I had made this mental idea that I was going to get a bunch of photos of them skating, like a bunch of epic stuff so I could post on my Instagram, you know. And I was like, sick. Well, the trip goes on. It was so dope, so fun. By the end of the trip, I'm having that post-trip high. I'm driving the van with my friend Todd, driving down through Santa Cruz. The rest of the team's back on their way
to Southern California, and I look at my phone and I realize I have no photos of any of them skating.
Oh.
And I'm like that coupled with the depression of the trip being over and then my girlfriend and I breaking up and having to figure out where I'm going to live. I was just like, dude, I can't believe it. You know, like, so bummed I didn't get photos, which in hindsight is ridiculous. All I had, dude, the only photos I had were like a few photos of people sitting. Who cares about that, you know?
Lifestyle shots.
Yeah, lifestyle shots. But then I myself was sitting, lamenting, moping, all melancholy, looking out the window at the beautiful landscape. And then I started to think about it like, man, am I thankful that I made it through though? Like I could have easily been like such a downer for everybody on the trip, but like I really didn't want to ruin this trip for anybody else. And I mean, the cost was it was coming back to me now and like this emotional kind of like a crossroads. But then I thought like, dude, no, it doesn't matter. You can do anything you want. Anything will be good as long as you look at it as a good thing. Like maybe this breakup is a good thing for both of us. And then I thought like, even look at this beautiful landscape, like it is what it is. I can think of it as a stupid landscape, or I can think of it as a, like a beautiful landscape. And I thought of it as something good. And I was like, interesting. Like, and I looked at my photos and it was, one of the photos was Levi Brown sitting down. I was like, he's sitting well. And I thought like, sit well collection. Like, oh my God. And then I started posting this silly hashtag, the sit well collection. And it all started with just like that concept of making whatever you want good, you know? And for me, the marker or like the token is a good sit. So I kept on hashtagging it over the year. And then it got to a point where I went to skate camp and everyone's like, sit well collection, that's pretty cool. Like, what are you going to do with it? And I thought like, I don't know. And my friend Sam, who runs the magazine program, Sam Margovicius, he runs a zine program at skate camp. He was like, dude, you should draw. Like, why don't you draw for our zine? So I drew one of the homies sitting down, and I was like, whoa, I really like drawing. And then Sam's like, you should keep doing it. So I kept on drawing, and I thought, like, what if we had, like, an art show that was based from camp and that was able to start this kind of, like, movement where everybody got involved, and then we'll have it, and the proceeds will go back to our media program. Because, like, dude, we're up in the woods. We got no money coming our way. We need computers. We need good stuff to at least educate the kids properly. Like, every year it's kind of like, on the seams of our pants, trying to figure it out. So that's how the Sit Well collection kind of came about. And over the last few months, I've been letting people know, like, yeah, we're about to do an art show. Proceeds go to skate camp. They're like, oh, yep, I'm down. Like, what do you need? Like, honestly, whatever Sitting Well means to you. So some people are making chairs. Like, my homie Lance, who lives in Visalia, he's like carving a redwood like with a chainsaw into a chair. And then other people are taking photos. Like Nick Garcia is going to take some photos and have them in the show. And other people are painting. And it's like super crazy, dude.
Dude, that is so rad. You know, and I really love that story, that whole story that you just gave about, you know, being at the camp, hanging out with all of your idols and really acting like what you said, a professional. I don't know if you felt like a professional at that point, but it sounds like, you were acting like one, you know, like you were putting your emotions to the side and then just taking care of business, you know, even though it was a real low point for you. And that's just really admirable. And then it comes full circle because here you are turning that, you know, negative into a positive and, you know, doing this art show that basically stemmed out of that whole experience. So that's so sick, dude. I love stories like that.
Well, I appreciate it. You're a really good listener. Thank you, dude.
Well, dude, it is awesome. And I really like how, you know, you were doing this thing, this Sitwell collection, not really knowing what it was. And, you know, you just wanted to do it just for the love. And then here we are with it being an art show. And when is that art show, actually?
It'll be January 16th from 7 to 11 at the Loma Street Market in Long Beach, California.
Hell yeah. Sick, and I just found out today that someone's going to be playing, a special guest going to be playing the show.
Dude, Ray Barbie.
Yeah.
The sick legend.
I was like really rubbing my eyes. Like, did they really get Ray Barbie to do this? Hell yeah.
Yes. Dude, skate camp has a magic. You would be surprised how many people have been involved in skate camp. Like Salma Nagah was Skater of the Year
and was a lead counselor at skate camp. Ray Barbie was a counselor there. Dude, Paul Rodriguez was a camper. Caswell Berry was a camper. Jerry Sue. Danny Way grew up going to skate camp. Like, it runs deep, dude.
Yeah. It's a lot of really good work that you guys are doing, man. I mean, to be able to let kids come over and, like you said, just get involved in that positive attitude. Who knows what they're dealing with at home, you know? And to be able to go to that camp, have a bunch of people that they look up to, really talk to them and, you know, come go down to their level and, you know, teach them how to skate. It's amazing work, and we all appreciate it, dude, honestly.
Dude, well, it's anyone who's ever been to camp knows it's like it's more than just skateboarding. Like, granted, like, we want you to come to camp and skate and have a good time. And hell yeah, you're going to get good by the end of the week because there's so much fun stuff to skate. But the most important factor is when you go home, you leave with skate camp in your soul. There's the saying that we have, united we roll when there's skate camp in our soul. And the truth about that is, dude, we as skateboarders are representatives of a whole culture. Our actions and our dispositions are passed on to random people in society as, like, as stereotypes, really. So if we go out to a spot smoking, drinking, saying F this, F that, like, just pretty much just being pieces of crap, people are going to notice and be like, that's what skateboarding is.
Right.
At skate camp, we try to educate the kids that, dude, that's not what it's about at all. What it's about is being your absolute, learning to be your best self, utilizing the tool which you've been given, which is your skateboard, to find the most positive and creative outlet you can, whether it's photography, drawing, design, or even the simple act of skateboarding. Pursue it and do it in the mindset that you are a leader in your peer group. And we've been saying it for years, and I've seen kids growing up to a point where they're in my cabin and now they're counselors, and I'm like so damn proud of them because they lead the torch. You know, there's this one homie, Augie Johansson. He's from Berkeley. He rides for 510. Dude, to me, he's like the epitome of what it is to be a good rad skateboarder. He will shred your face off. Dude, he does backside nose slides in the bowl that are just like, and it'll pop to regs. Like, what? But he can also get on a level of a six-year-old and talk to him about being homesick. And then at the same time, walk around, make sure people are doing good, give them high fives. And on the weekends, he will chug a beer when no one's around, first try. Because he's a legend, you know? But to me, he's like, he's all around such a good dude. And as I said, that's what skate camp's all about. It's just about being your absolute best self. And whether that's on board or not, just do it. Follow your passions.
Thanks so much, Andy. And if you want to get some more info on where to go to join this camp.
So you can go to skatecamp.org, and that will have all the information for registration for this next year. You can follow our Instagram, @ElementSkateCamp. And you can, of course, please follow elementalawareness.org. Elemental Awareness is where we do the year-round stuff that is super fun. And we hope to offer more things for campers throughout the year and the near future.
That's so sick, man.
Hell yeah.
Andy, I mean, dude, you're exactly the exact guest that Skate to Create is all about, you know, being able to be in the industry and being able to really express that tool, the skateboard that allows you to be creative in all different aspects. And that's exactly why we started this podcast, man. We loved skateboarding and the connection between the industry, man. We've been honored to speak and have conversations with some of the top pros that we used to just love growing up skateboarding, you know, watching them before we went skateboarding. So it was a true, man, it was a nice honor speaking with you today and, you know, just reflecting in your story itself of having a dream, having a mission and just going for it and putting in that everyday work. And even though your personal life may factor sometimes, you never lost sight of that dream, you know, and really took hold in that. That was really... It's awesome, man.
And the main lesson we get from you today is learn how to write some good letters. I mean, damn.
Yes.
Get so dude, far in life.
Letters. It's really fun. And it makes you realize, like, I'll be writing a letter to somebody just saying thank you. And I realize, like, oh, yeah, they did that. Like, I kind of forgot about that. Like, oh, yeah, they did that. And it makes you realize how powerful your friendships and relationships are. Because you can't get anywhere in life without your friends. Like,
right.
You're never going to do it alone. And if you do it alone, when you get to the top, you'll be lonely and empty. You have to appreciate the ones who help you out. Do what you love with the ones you love and let them know why you love them. That's the biggest thing you can do.
Sick.
Dude, amazing note to leave the episode on. And just again, Andy, can you let us know where we can find the Sitwell Collection stuff and connect with you online?
For sure. So there's sitwellcollection.com. There's also, you can follow the hashtag Sitwell Collection, my Instagram, at Jan Snarlos. Dude, thank you guys. This has been a pleasure. You guys are awesome.
Sick, man. And again, thank you for coming on, and we'll catch you at the next session.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Andy. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Skate to Create listeners, we have something really special planned for you this year. It's an exclusive group that's designed to train and develop the next generation of skateboard businesses. And we're focused on motivating everyone to achieve their goals and continue to be inspired. Make sure you go to royaldecadesign.com and click on the community tab. It's an exclusive group again, guys, and it's going to really help you achieve your goals this year and maybe even just meet a lot of really cool people along the way. Again, that's royaldecadesign.com. Click on the community tab and we'll see you at the next session.